Exodus chapter 20, page 77. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Well, good morning. And if you want to turn back to that Exodus passage, we're going through the Ten Commandments and we're on the fifth commandment. So it's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I don't know whether you've ever been to those awful parties, at least I think they're awful, where the people in those parties are slightly, you know, more classy than you, more educated, from a better sort of class background, that sort of thing. And then it comes to the awful sort of questioning time. What do you do? What do you do? And it's quite horrible, I think. And it goes round and someone says, of course, I work for HSBC, as if that's important. I'm a deputy head of a college. And what about you? What do you do? And then the mother says, I'm just a full-time mum. Oh, wonderful, as you're put down. And then it goes round, perhaps, to a father. Yeah, actually, first and foremost, I'm a father. Oh, yeah, of course, yes, most important, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But what do you do? And it's interesting, isn't it? Lip service is paid to being a father and mother, but it's just not really very interesting, certainly not at that party, anyway. The fifth commandment says, honour your father and mother. So when you're in that situation again, this is what your response should be. What do you do? Well, I actually don't want to brag, but I've got the most important job in the world. I'm a mother and a father. Or you could answer this way. Actually, I'm the Prime Minister. Prime Minister of a little country. Prime Minister, of course, means first servant. I wonder if most people know that. Or you could say, I'm a teacher. I'm a guide. I'm a peacemaker. I'm a judge. Or you could say, I'm a chef. Or I'm a cleaner. Or I'm a private secretary. Or I'm a PA. Or I'm a nurse or a diplomat. You could say that. Or I'm a chauffeur, or I'm a trainer, or I'm an encourager, I'm a parent. All of those things you could say. But we're living in a time where parenting is really being downgraded. We all know that it's important, and there's lip service to it on one level, but actually it's being downgraded, and it's being downgraded for a number of reasons. The rise of individualism. Parents and parenting is less important than your individual career. Career is important. You come first. That's what we're being told. That's how we're being taught. You're the most important person in life. And actually, to be quite honest with you, so individualism goes, you'll never be a good parent until you become a whole, rounded person and you follow your own life and you find yourself in your career or whatever it is you want to be doing. And when you found that, then later you could be a parent. Freudism. Now, you may never have heard of Sigmund Freud, but unfortunately, he's underlined a lot of our thinking here. Freud, his understanding of the world, I mean, it was weird. There were all kinds of strange things of id and superego and, well, I think if I mention the periods of life that he believed in, that you would think I was just being crude. But, you know, he was a strange bloke. But his philosophy and his psychotherapy is underlying a lot of our individualism. So, for instance, he would say that an understanding of human beings is that we've got this horrible father figure that we need to kill. We need to kill the father figure in our life and be liberated. So in other words, parents are a bit of a problem. We've got to break away from the slavery of honoring our father and mother. We need to be free. It's a very strange world, a very confusing world that we live in, because all these destructive forces sort of make us want to be orphans, which is a very strange thing in this world. And eventually they destroy us, and as I'll try to show you, it's not what we were created for. So individualism, Freudism, and then just the child idolization that goes on. So we downplay parents, but we upplay children and their position. And we idolize them. They become the center. You know, it becomes almost a sort of guilt trip for us not parenting that we then raise up the children. What do the children want? What do the children think? We mustn't upset the children. It's all about children. They become the center. And so we idolize children, and we idolize youth. And those of us that are adults, we don't want to be adults. We want to be young again. We want to be children again. We want to keep on playing. Have you noticed that? And you get ridiculous adverts about some revitalizing cream, where the woman at the end says, "Wrinkles? What wrinkles? You stupid woman. What are you talking like that for? You just want to be a child with no wrinkles. Make the wrinkles. Bring the wrinkles on, you know? Don't be like those people on Britain's Got Talent that have got faces as shiny as a baby's bottom. And yet they shouldn't have. You know, it's just another way of not wanting to grow up, not wanting to be a parent, not wanting to be an adult. We idolize youth. We idolize children. And so fathering and mothering is downplayed. At the same time as we raise children up to a position of idolatry almost. Now it's into this world that we have the most fantastic thing, God's revelation, God's word. God speaks this commandment, number 5, into this world. Verse 12 of Exodus 20, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, we've already seen that the Ten Commandments are actually laws of love. They're all about loving God. They're all about loving your neighbor. They're love laws. They're wonderful. It isn't something outside that oppresses us and condemns us. Jesus has set us free from condemnation. And because we're free from condemnation, these laws now are things that we want to live for. The Spirit of God has put in our hearts. And because I don't have to fulfill them, because if I don't, I'll be condemned, we're actually free to push them, to maximize them and really live in the light of them. We don't have to be Pharisees that try and work out, does this rule mean that? And what about this rule? So that we can sort of work out how to minimize these rules. Now we can live in the light of them. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Because I love God and because I love my neighbor, I want to maximize this commandment in my life. So let's have a look at it. First thing I want us to see. Why? Why honor your father and mother? Why honor your father and mother? That's the first thing. The word honour means respect, it means revere, it means to admire, but it comes from the word that is often used of God, which is glory, to bring glory to God. It means weight. So this commandment is saying, give weight to your mother. Your mother should be more weighty as you get older. Now, you don't exactly put it in those terms because that might, you know, be taken wrongly. But give weight to your mother. Give weight to your father. As God's glory is his weight, is his substance, honor your parents like you would glory God because they stand for his glory. Honor is not just an outward duty, oh, well, I better do it, grudgingly giving your obedience. It's an attitude of heart, as we see. Honor. But why? Why honor your father and mother? Well, here's a load of reasons. Here's some in the Bible. Let me give you some. Honor your father and mother because of what they represent and who they represent. So you've got to get this. When you read the Bible, it's just a wonderful truth, isn't it? That God is the basis of all life. He's the life giver. He's the basis of all life. And therefore, he's the basis of all relationship life. So when you read the Bible, you see that God is not just a digital one on his own without any relationships, not like the Allah of Islam, who, that's why he's so grumpy. He's been on his own for all eternity, doesn't know anyone, doesn't want relationship with anyone. God is not like that. That's a false God called Allah. But the God of the Bible, the living God, is the triune God, three persons in one. There's always been relationship, always in eternity. That's why relationship is an important thing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's this eternal family. And so one area of relationship that you would expect to see in a world that was created by a God of relationships is family. And that's what you do see, is family. God, the architect and creator of this world, the Father, Son, and Spirit, has created family. And so fatherhood is a fundamental understanding to who God is. We're made in his image, and therefore God has invested in parents an awesome responsibility to be like God to the children that they bear. So children, and we're all children in this room, you honor your father and mother because they represent God to you in some way. Now, you may say, well, I don't like that. I mean, I don't want to represent God. Well, tough, you do. That's your job. Fathers and mothers are godlike. That's why we honor them. They created you to some degree. They gave birth to you. They provide for you. They care for you. So why honor them? Because of who they represent. But why honor them? Secondly, because of what they do. And what do? They teach. So Proverbs 23, verse 22, we heard this. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. So parents are to get the children to listen. They are to teach the children right and wrong. That's what they're supposed to do. They're to teach children what is important in life and what is not important in life. They're to teach children. I mean, that's what family is. Family is a learning community about what is right and wrong. Now, modern parenting that we've picked up today is that we're not allowed to impose our beliefs on children. Don't you do that. That it is not the job of the parents to teach what is right and teach what is wrong, or to have overall authority over our children. Now, the modern view of parenting is that all parenting is to give a warm, loving sort of atmosphere for the children to decide themselves. They're the ones who decide what is right and wrong. You mustn't teach them. No, you leave the teaching to the professionals. They know how to do it, not you. You're only a mother and a father. We leave the parenting, if you like, to outsiders to socialize our children. But don't you force your views onto children. But the Bible's emphasis is, no, that's completely wrong. What makes a family is that parents teach kids. Parents teach their children. Parents make sure that the teaching that their children are getting is good teaching. Parents make sure the children hear the Bible over any external teaching of the world that goes on. That's why Sunday school is more important than school. And if you have the idolatry that school is more important than Sunday school, you'll get the children that you've invested in, largely. So teach. So you honor them because they teach, because of what they do. But you honor them because of what they do, and they are to discipline and to love. Proverbs 23, verse 14. Punish him, that's your son, punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Now, I don't think that's talking about beating children, and I've got no time to go into why I think that. But it's a rod, it's a measure, hey, you've got to discipline, that discipline has some teeth. Why? Because folly is bound up in the heart of the child, says Proverbs 22. But the rod of discipline will drive that out. Children aren't innocent, lovely little things that know everything. They're horrible, vile little hearts full of sin. And their folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And so you discipline them. And you do that with love. Not embittering the children, as Colossians 3 says. I mean, the word embitter says, Father, don't embitter your children. It means a boxing match. Don't have a boxing match with your children. You don't fight so that you can win. You discipline and you love so that they understand. Which brings me on to the third thing of what they do. They teach, they discipline and love, they give wisdom. The purpose of teaching and discipline and love is that the child themselves will have wisdom. Proverbs 23, verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. Fathers and mothers are to get their children to a place of a wise heart. That's what they're to do. So the purpose of parenting, the purpose of Christian parenting particularly, is that they will come to a wise heart and understand the word of God. That's what your job is if you're a parent. To bring them to a bigger, wiser person. God. See, the purposes of parenting is not to get yourself a retirement plan. The purpose of parenting is not to get yourself servants. The purpose of parenting is not to get yourself lifelong friends that are always there for you. The purpose of parenting is not to get your children to fulfill your dreams that you weren't able to fulfill yourself. The purpose of parenting is to get the child to a place where their heart is wise. And so we honor parents because that's a hard job. To discipline is just jolly hard. To love sometimes is just jolly hard. To teach is just hard work. It's just hard work. And the anxiety that goes with teaching children to get a wise heart. I mean, just think about a mother and the anxiety that the mother has when the child, the daughter, goes out to the nightclub for the first time. Just think about the sleepless night that the mother's having. Is she going to be wise like I taught her? Or is she going to be unwise and stay over with some bloke? Or drink too much? You see? It's hard work. The anxiety to teach, to discipline, to reprove, to love, to care. It's just hard work. It wears you out. It brings grey hair or no hair. So you honor. You honour because of who they represent. You honour because of what they do. But thirdly, why honour? Because of society. Because of society. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I don't think that means that you personally will live long. I think it's talking about society. If you look at how Deuteronomy chapter 4 opens that out, it says, so that you it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. In other words, it's talking about living long and properly and peacefully in society. I think that's what it's talking about. So in other words, if you don't honour your father and mother, there'll be a breakdown in society. It won't survive. It won't live long. It will collapse. It won't be a safe place. People won't have taught their children and disciplined their children, so there'll be kids out on the street with knives and guns and fists. People won't have taught their children how to be disciplined with alcohol, and so there'll be drunks every Friday and Saturday night on the streets. It'll be an unpleasant place to live. People won't have taught their children that you work hard and save up for things. So there'll be kids that will just steal because they want money, or won't save up and get into massive debt because they want it now. We live in a society that will be broken financially. We live in a society that will be economically broken because of this stuff. If you want to sort the economics out, you want to go back here. But that's what will happen. You'll live in a society that their bond isn't their word. Their word isn't their bond, or whatever way around it goes. You'll live in a society where people will lie just to get out of things, will make up stories, will pretend. And that's what it's saying. You see, there's a society thing here. If you want to live in a happy world and a happy society, then honour your father and mother. And if you don't, well, in the Old Testament, when parents were treated violently by their children, the whole society saw that as a crime against society. Paul picks it up in Ephesians chapter 6, when he's writing and saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And then he talks about living long in the land. He's saying that heavenly people who live in the heavenly land will obey their parents, because that's the place of rest and peace. They're reflecting the place of godliness if they honor their parents. So why honour your father and mother? Why? Because of who they represent. They represent God. Because of what they do. They teach you. They discipline you. They love you. They lead you into wisdom. Because of society. Because everything will go wrong at this point. This is where it starts to go wrong. If you don't honour your father and mother. Okay? Why? Got it? You got that? Everybody got that one? Wasn't hard, was it? We haven't applied it yet, so hang on. Here's the second thing. How to honour your mother and father. How do you honour your mother and father? First thing is attitude. That's the big thing, is attitude. Honour is an attitude of heart. You see, the problem with this is, I know what you're thinking, and I know what some of your questions will be is, you'll ask me specific things, and you want me to specifically say, "This is do this, do that, do that." That's how, we always want to go the Pharisee way of doing laws. But actually, there's a big thing, which is attitude. You see, love the Lord your God with all your heart. When have I ever finished with that commandment? Love your neighbour as yourself. I don't ever stop loving. I can never fulfil that commandment in one sense, can I? I never stop it. It's not like, oh, I've done love now. All right, let's move on to the next thing. And it's the same with honour. Honour is an attitude. It's not something you're done with. You know, you don't just do things. It's an attitude. And it's an attitude of honouring. And the doing, if you like, changes in the different stages of life. One time in your life, you'll honor this way. Another time, you'll honor another way. Do you understand that? So, for instance, when you marry, you leave your parents. You leave your father and mother. One way of honoring them is to get out of their house. Yeah? Is to leave them. And all that means. So you honor them by an attitude, and that's a very flexible thing in the way you do things. It's an attitude of heart. That's the big thing you've got to get right. So you've got to keep asking yourself. But of course, the second way of honoring your parents is action. Of course, it does involve action. So we've already read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. There's an obedience. So some of the children, I mean, how do they work? You know, they say things like this, oh, you don't know my parents, though. They're so strict. You know, they're so strict. Well, maybe God knows that you need strict parents because you're so terrible. It might be true, mightn't it? It might be that. Maybe God knows best for you. So there's stages where you obey them. And of course, the action isn't just obeying, it's providing for their needs. When they're aged, you provide for them. 1 Timothy 5 says, anyone who does not provide for their children, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you don't provide for your physical family, your mother and father, then you're worse than an unbeliever. So of course, there's actions. Attitude is the first thing. There's actions, but hold it. There's a third thing, and that is bringing them credit. Bringing them credit. How do I honor my father and mother? My attitude, my actions, bringing them credit. Listen to Proverbs 27, verse 11. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. Yeah? Do you see what's going on there? There's a load of people treating me with contempt, but I can say, well, however you treat me, look at my son, look at my daughter, look at my child. Yeah? Yeah? Looked at them? Because they're bringing credit. That's the whole idea. So a father's dignity and his place in the community and a mother's dignity and place in the community is actually wrapped up positively or negatively about how the children live. I mean, what do parents talk about? Yeah? Endlessly. Boringly. Constantly. Their children. Why? Because their children bring them credit or a lack of credit, depending on what their, you know, actions are like. I mean, honestly, to be honest, if you're younger here and you don't know what to speak to an old person about, just say, how's your children? And then just go off, you know, let them talk. Watch their mouth. You know, because they endlessly talk about their children. I mean, it's my mum's birthday today. I'm going to take her out for a meal. She'll want to talk to me about when I was a little boy, and I'll just look at her. And then look at the roast dinner that I'm thinking about and go, mmm. I mean, my mum will ask me a question, what do you think, Pete? And I'll start, and then she's on another subject. There's no point in talking to her whatsoever. Anyway, that's another issue. Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. See that? So we're to bring credit to them, joy to them, just by the way we live. So honor, we've seen why we honor them, but we've seen how we honor them with our attitude, with, of course, actions, bringing them credit. But here we are. Now get this one. Please tune in to this one. By growing up. You honor your father and mother by growing up. If you're an adult and you're still acting like a child, stop it and grow up. Even if your parents want you to act like a child, you don't honor them by acting like a child. Grow up. If you still treat your parents, your mother and father's home, as if it's a hotel, you're not honoring your father and mother. Grow up. I don't know whether you remember, but a few years ago, there was a series of British Gas adverts on television. Do you remember that? And those British Gas adverts, the whole idea was that there was these aging couple at home and their 40-something kids were still at home. Do you remember these adverts? It seemed to be a wrong advert, because if you have British Gas, it's so wonderfully comfortable at home that your kids will never leave. So that means a reason for not having them, as far as I turn that gas off, for goodness sake. But that was it. That was it. So there were these 40-something kids at home because it was comfortable because they had British Gas. Now, what is interesting about that advert is that there was a lot of research that went in to make those adverts. And I read some of the research. It was based on this research. Here's a part of the research. Just have a listen to this. This is what the writer said who produced those adverts. Even those who move out, you know, kids that move away, are strangely reluctant to assume responsibility for the drearier aspects of adult existence. One in ten, this is this country a few years ago, one in ten people aged between 30 and 44, according to the survey, still take their washing and ironing back to their parents. Here we go, let me read it. A figure which includes a rather shocking 8% of married people. This is what the writer says. The washing, I can just about understand, provided one supervises the cycle oneself. But the ironing, what a terrible picture it conjures up of the carefree, newly weddings. Is Jerusalem Brewery here? The carefree, newly weddings dropping by another bag of crumpled shirts. As the door bangs shut to the cry of, "No trouble at all, dear," her grin ebbs to an expression of infinite exhaustion. Meanwhile, driving off in the car, the husband turns complacently to his wife and observes, "Mum really loves doing that kind of stuff." No, she doesn't. Grow up. You do not honor your parents by acting like children. See, in broad principle, let's get this right. In broad principle, in childhood, we honor our parents by obeying them because they're like God to us. As adults, we honor them by growing up and by living right. An adult who can't do anything without checking on their parents brings actually dishonor to their parents, even if their parents say they like that. Did you notice the Luke 2 reading that we read about Jesus? Did you notice that? It's very interesting. Let me read it to you. It's in Luke 2. Don't turn to it. Just have a listen. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. So they'd gone to Jerusalem to obey the Lord with their son, who was about 12, Jesus. They returned to Galilee on their way to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, Jesus, grew and became strong. So he's just growing up like a young man. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Then he stays in the temple. The parents go. And as they're walking home, they can't find him. Where's the son? And they start looking for him. And then they go back to the temple and they find Jesus in the temple. And Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus grew up as a young man, and he grew up to leave his parents to be about his father's business, his father's house. God, in other words. In other words, God begins to take the place of your parents as you grow up. And if he doesn't, there's something wrong. And that's how you honor your parents. You need to grow up and understand that God is your father. You need to grow up and understand that you'll be in God's, the Father's house, about the Father's business. and you bring dishonor to your parents if God hasn't started being your parent. I think that's what it's saying. In John chapter 1, we're told this fantastic verse. To all who received Jesus, to all who received Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You become children of God. God becomes your father. If you don't understand, and if you've not grown up to understand this, that God is your ultimate father, you'll never grow up. And therefore you'll never honor your father and mother. I hope you're following me here, because it seems to me to be absolutely important. If you had good parents, it will be possible to continue in your life to idolize them and do what they want you to do, because you love them. But you haven't grown up. If you have bad parents, it will be possible for you to continue the rest of your life being bitter, weeping over the fact that you weren't accepted as a child and weren't loved properly as other children were loved. If you never grow up and therefore you never honor your father and mother, and you won't ever grow up and honor your father and mother until you understand that God is your father. Do you see that? Jesus grew up and went about his father's business. That's what it is. To be a parent is to grow them up into wisdom so that Father God takes preeminence. Do you see that? At one time your parents were God to you. And when they said you were naughty and they were harsh, it was like God speaking to you. When they say you were good and rewarded you, it was like God speaking to you. But actually now, if you're an adult, you've grown up. God is God, your father. I want to say, if you don't realize that, and many people live completely wrong in this area, many people just don't understand it. Their whole life is run on the basis that they spend their life upset because dad and mum were pretty horrible. They're messed up. They get sexually messed up. They start looking for love in wrong experiences. They've misunderstood that when you come to adult life, God is your father. Grow up. Your parents should not still be controlling you. Do you see that? If only you understand that to all who receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you've got bad and dishonorable parents, honor them by growing up and not being underneath them anymore. And honor them by growing up into the Christian faith and forgiving them. Grow up. Grow up into the Christian faith and forgive them. Don't let them dominate you. Forgive them. Show them grace. Work out where you stand and where you let go of issues when battling with them. You honor them by growing up. And God becomes your father. Stop being a child. So there's ways of honoring God. You got it? I'm nearly done on that one. Not quite. Your attitude, very important. It's the big overall one. Actions, of course. Bring them credit. Grow up. But here's the fifth way you honor your father and mother. You ready for this one? Here's the fifth way you honor your father and mother. By hating them. You honor your father and mother by hating them. And if they've brought you up properly, they'll bring you up to hate you. To hate their parents. Now that's odd, isn't it? All that I've just said, I've denied in one little sentence. No, I haven't. You honor your father and mother by hating them because that's what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, have a listen. It's a very interesting thing because the modern version has changed it. I'll read the modern version out and then tell you what it actually says. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What it actually says is, if you do not hate your father or your mother or your child or your son, and love me. They've interpreted it, which is right in some ways, but it's a very strong word. In other words, Jesus is saying, your love for your parents should look like hate compared to your love for me. So what he's saying here is that we have a commitment to God, to Christ, that transcends even the strong commitment to your father and mother. Jesus is claiming preeminence. Jesus is saying that me and my family are more important than even that incredible relationship that I've given a law about and all of this time, I've been preaching about. There is even a bigger, preeminent, bigger relationship who takes number one position, Jesus, so much so it will look like you hate your parents. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that you don't provide for your parents. We've just seen that you do that. You don't use the love of God to despise your parents. We've just seen you don't do that. But actually, the ruling power in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the preeminent one. And you honor your parents by so loving him. That you may become a missionary and go halfway around the world and never see your parents again because Christ wants you there. See that? It's an amazing thing. As long as you've provided for them. Okay. There's the commandment. It's powerful, isn't it? It's bigger than perhaps you thought it was. It was bigger than I thought it was. Let's try and apply it. You ready? Strap your belts on. I didn't like this commandment. I didn't ever realize that out of all the commandments I've been studying, this was the one I would hate more than any. It's interesting, isn't it? In fact, Tom read to me John Calvin's commentary or little writing on this commandment. I hadn't read it myself, but he read it to me, and he said that John Calvin says this is the commandment no one likes. This is quite interesting. Me and Calvin, see? I realized I didn't like it because basically I like rebellion. I'm quite rebellious. It's not that my parents were fantastic. The parent bit is easy to honor them. But this stands for bigger than just parents. You see, sinners... The world hates God and it attacks God's authority. And because it attacks God's authority, it attacks all of the authorities God set up. And parents is one of them. But I don't know about you. I quite like rebellion, don't you? I like moaning about the government, don't you? I like voting for the person that won't get in because I can moan about those that did get in. Don't you do that? No, because you're a conformist. You have other commandments that will attack you on. The great Augustine said this, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? Romans chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 clearly links rebellious hearts to authority in general to the rebellious hearts of not honoring your father and mother. This has exposed me. I don't know about you. This commandment exposes me. My goodness. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill this for me. There's a rebellion there. But also, we can apply this to church. Absolutely. Honor your parents. In fact, obey your parents, says Paul, in the Lord. Now, some of you long to be parents, and you're not, and you've longed to be parents. But you know, this is the wonderful thing about church. You can be a parent. It's what church is. It's a family. You can be a parent, whether you've got a child physically or not. Whether you're married or not, you can be a parent. It's a wonderful thing. That's why church is such a wonderful thing. Children and young people need you. They're all out there learning from people. They need you to be parents in the Lord. They need you. The older you get in church, the more important you are. Because we need to hear your experience. You need to parent us. You need to tell us. Older people, don't go quiet. Be louder. I know you're louder because you're deaf, but you know, be louder. Speak. Tell us. Encourage those younger. Give wisdom. Discipline. Love. That's what church is. Older people, your parents, whether you like it or not, the children will respond to you. If they see you uninterested in Christ, what do you think they're going to be like? If they see you going for Christ and loving Jesus, if you go up to them and they're more interested in getting the bun in their mouth or the biscuit shoved down their throat and they're shoving it in, and you keep going up to them and saying, just want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is a lovely Savior. Tell them that. Tell them that. Speak to them. Don't moan about them running around. Love them. Pat them on the shoulder. Say, Jesus loves you. Tell them. Give them wisdom. Preach to them. Tell them off. Don't you do that. Don't you speak like that. Oh, you speak like that, you're going to end up a nasty, horrible terrorist, a vicious person who'll blow himself up, and you'll end up in a nasty grave. You know, tell them. Warn them. Don't follow your dreams. Everybody's telling you to follow your dreams. Everybody's telling you that education is the big thing. Everybody's telling you that A-levels are the most important. No, they're not. A-levels are rubbish. I've got none. I don't need any. You don't need any. Forget that. What you need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the things about saying it like that, you think I'm joking. I am not. If you are a parent or if you're a Christian giving off the idea that secular education is more important than the Bible, you are not acting as a good parent. Stop it. Repent. Ask the Lord to help you and start again. It's so important. And if you're angry at that, then come and see me afterwards and I'll show you where you're wrong. Okay? I'll be a bulldog on that one. There's a wonderful opportunity to preach. Teach them. Show them the wisdom of God. Church is such a wonderful society where kids can honor. There's loads of parents. We're all parents. It's lovely, isn't it? You get one of the little kids in there and you're a parent to them. Yeah? You can say, and parents, the physical parents, don't be annoyed when one of the people here, one of the other parents in this church, might tell them off. That's good, isn't it? Unless they're being told off just for being children, that's a different thing. You know? Children and young people, you need to grow up. And they will grow up to be like their parents. And if we're their parents, will they love the Lord Jesus? Hold on, I'm nearly done. But this whole thing is telling us to grow up in church life as well. I mean, back to that British Gas illustration. Let's rub that in a little bit. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if we spawn a generation of Christians like that British Gas advert? Thoughtless, demanding, spoilt little brats in their 40s, always expecting to be pampered, never expecting to have anything expected of them. Wouldn't that be awful if we'd produced in this church children that in their 40s are like that? I have to tell you that there are pastors up and down the country that are giving up being pastors and pulling their hairs out because they're absolutely broken by this whole issue. And they're concerned that a generation of veteran Christians are dying out. It's lovely to have some with us today that are in their 80s still going on preaching about Jesus. And seriously, it's a joy to have you in our church. Some people are so upset about and concerned that there's a generation of veteran Christians dying out. People with no job in serving God because they're children. They just want to be served. Babies. Demanding. Upset. Always upset. Constantly disappointed. And show it. Where is the generation of endurers? Where is the generation of people that don't do short-term mission but stick at it? Where is that? Are we producing children of this generation that are self-absorbed and self-centered and narcissistic? Or are we producing grown-ups that serve, that take a responsibility, that see something that needs doing and do it? You notice mothers? They just pick up the thing on the floor, don't they? They don't even think about it. You know? Notice children? They just walk over it. Why? Mum will do it. It'd be awful if we had a Christianity like that, wouldn't it? Now, the wonderful thing is we've got a lot of young people in this church serving, and it's such a joy. It's such a privilege. We are an envy. I talk to a lot of pastors, and they can't believe it. It's a joy, but let's keep that up. Let's be veterans sticking at it. And then there's a last bit of application. Put God first as your father. Get right with God and sort your attitude out with your physical parents. Let's pray. Let's have just a moment of quiet. Think through what where the Lord's touched us and what we need to do. You know, is there something that we really need to repent of? We need to ask the Lord to help us on. We need to look to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit for strength. Go through. So what are the things that slightly irritated you? Maybe they're the things that God's been trying to touch you on. And then Phil will lead us in prayer.